In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Olin Krutz, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, 6-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to Olin Krutz, although sometimes the circumstances aren't perfect. Nonetheless, Olin, like all our guests, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Olin, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing good. Tough loss, you know, tough 4 weeks here. Wow. If you're playing for the Bears, if you're coaching for the Bears, if you're covering the Bears, if you're an analyst for the Bears, if you're on the road, you know, in certain bars doing shows for Bears and dealing with the fans, just tough ways to lose games, man. The Hail Mary, blocked field goal, talked a lot about even leading up into this game, kept talking about how long it took us there at Halas Hall, because as you guys know, you guys covered us there. We weren't doing a lot of winning for a while there, how long it took us to learn how to win. And that's why the confusion when I hear them talking about details and why guys get fired and accountability, and then you watch them go out there and they're trying to find it, guys. They're trying to learn how to win football games, which, as you two guys know, and a lot of people who watch the NFL know, a lot of these games are really close and they're hard football games to win, right? And something I was just looking at this morning, we look at this Packers field goal block, which there was a lot of talk about what Coach LaFleur said after the game. Three guys jumping in the air in the middle of their defense there, guys, all draft picks, right? Fifth round pick, sixth round pick, and first round pick. And we talk about developing the line of scrimmage for the Chicago Bears and developing guys so they can make plays at the end of games to win games to get your team over the hump.
So, Olin, on that last sequence, the one that created a feeling that was shocking and yet all too familiar in Chicago, where do you place most of the responsibility? On the coaching staff for not having the gumption and belief and confidence to run one more play and think something good will happen and you put yourself in the best situation possible, or the breakdown along the offensive line that created the block?
Yeah, when you go back and rewatch it, you have young guys out there like Roschon Johnson at running back. The play before, everybody wanted one more run play, and I can see that, especially when you have a kicker who kicks it low. But Roschon has to learn there in that situation. We're not going to jump cut backside, right? On I think it was second down, he got the handoff. The Bears blockers up front get pushed 4 yards in the backfield on that play. And that's when the guys, when we talk about winning games and we talk about details, and you try to define that, right? Because if you're going to keep talking about it, you probably should define what you're actually talking about. And I'm talking about on that kind of play, when the young quarterback and the receiver group get you down there for a field goal, and we're just looking for 4 or 5 more yards, guys, because remember, everyone keeps saying we didn't do it. On second down, they did hand the ball off, right? They did hand the ball off and try to get more yards there. You got to get your – what is details in football, right? Get your pads low, right? Come off the ball. Get under the defender. Move him back so we can get 3 or 4 more yards. They call a play from the sideline, right? They call inside zone to the right. The aiming point is probably – the backside leg of the center. I give it to my running back, my downhill running back. I want him downhill. I want him hard. All I need is 3 or 4 more yards, guys. First of all, we get pushed back in the backfield. We're 3 yards in the backfield. The Bears blockers are back there. Rashawn Gary does a nice job. Guess what he does? Another first-round pick for the Packers. Guess what he does at that moment? He gets his pads low. He gets his hand, comes off the ball, gets his hands inside, and he pushes the Bears tight end back, right? And Roschon Johnson takes the ball, and he goes to jump cut. Guess what they tell a running back? You got to press the line of scrimmage. You don't make a cut until you get to the line of scrimmage, right? Then it's up to you, but I want you at the line of scrimmage, especially in that situation. I want you downhill. I want you running hard. Instead, we jump cut backside. We almost lose. If I'm on the sideline, two guys, I got young guys out there. I almost lose 2 to 3 yards on that one play. I'm a little worried. Man, oh, no, no, no. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to hand it off again. Sorry. I'm in position. I almost lost 3 or 4 yards there. I got to kick the ball right now. So I can see why they did it, and I can also see why people say, why not go for one more? We talked about the Packers special team coach, Matt LaFleur, saying, man, we knew we could get one, basically calling the Bears building out. He's smart enough to know exactly what he's saying there. Yep. He's saying you guys are unprepared, and we were.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a very damning comment by him. Mm-hmm. And
he knows what he's saying. He knows exactly what he's saying.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, but he's entitled to, because they won the bloody game. And apparently
it pissed me off in a way where you respect him, right? Where that pisses you off that he says that, right? But I mean, you know, you can be mad at somebody and still respect them. You respect the way to prepare. You respect what, like, he said that. And I just, like, you're saying that our guys are not preparing. Like, our guys are not seeing the film. I went back. The Bears did have a block against the Jaguars late in the game. They're up by a lot of points. No one really notices, right? Obviously, Coco Metz had a long snapper there. He's snapping the field goal. A lot of moving parts. The Jaguars do get a block there. I think this is the Bears' second one of the year.
So I guess the question, Olin, is, do we give them credit for being close? I mean,
They shouldn't.
But they didn't seem like the coach seemed very composed in the post game. Mm-hmm. The quarterback seemed downright pleased. I mean, I'm just being honest. Now, he did perform the special. We've seen him now lead the Bears to 2 game winning plays, and then they lost both those games. But he has he did do that little trick that you were hoping to see that we're worried we weren't going to see again. And I don't know how to feel coming out of that thing because of the unbelievable disappointment that they have, frankly, a losing culture, and they find a way to lose these games.
They do. And that's why we keep talking about learning how to win, right? And talk about Caleb Williams, man, 3rd and 19. He avoids the Packers defender, works to the right, eyes down the field, hits Odunze. What a gutsy throw, right? Back shoulder fade on a fourth down, play. And then, guys, he comes up to the line of scrimmage, recognizes the blitz, something I've talked about a lot, man. I see the game from the line of scrimmage. I'm a former center. I see blitzes. I see things coming. I know quarterbacks who don't see it. He checks to a 7-man protection, right? We call that base protection. Tight end has Sam for strong safety. Running back has Will to free safety. And the line has a 4-down in the mic. And he checks to it because he sees the blitz coming. He gets Keenan Allen 1-on-1. Gets him a great matchup. Keenan Allen runs his patented out route, and he hits him. You are right, Mully. There were so many good things in that drive. Now, an offense that only scores 19 points, right? An offense that only scores late in the first half, right? For all the good things we said we saw. Again, the points are under the rocks there at Soldier Field. They're still trying to find them, right? They're still trying to find more points for this offense. But that, again, you know, Caleb, how do we get that earlier in the game, right? How do we get to moving the ball, putting the ball in the end zone? But yes, at the end of the game there, I could see why he felt good, right? You can see him after walking off the field, before the field goal, he's shaking everybody's hand, right? And then, again, I would say that's learning how to win. Maybe the quarterback there should be like, let's wait. We got to make this field goal yet, right? We got things to do yet. Let's get these blocks. Make sure we're blocking the Green Bay Packers front. And Kyle Sanders should put this through the uprights. I mean, everybody who heard Coach Eberflus's post-game press conference, as we did, as Dustin does a great job getting for us that post-game press conference for us there on the post-game show now. Anybody who heard it was waiting for the, man, we have to learn how to win. The accountability they talk about so much over there at Hallis Hall, right? The details they talk about so much there at Hallis Hall. I'm not too frustrated with the young quarterback having a little pep in his step. I actually want that out of him. I want him to, obviously, to learn, man, there late in the game. keep the focus on the field goal team, keep the focus on making that field goal before we shake hands and celebrate. But not to worry about that. I'm a little more worried about the coach not coming out there and taking accountability after a week of firing somebody and then talking about accountability.
This segment with Olin Krutz, sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. All right, Olin, trying to remove emotion from it, which is difficult, but if you're just watching the tape and you're evaluating the Bears, say like the Vikings might be doing, what's one area that concerned you the most and one thing you saw that might have encouraged you?
I was encouraged by Jay Curran coming in to play left guard, to be honest with you, the way the offensive line played against the Packers defensive front that I thought they would struggle against, but it was big. Getting Braxton Jones and Darnell right back. You remember Braxton Jones block on a toss crack.
Oh, my God.
Screaming. I was screaming in Wonder Verse out there in Oak Brook. I love that block. I like some of the play calling. So the offensive line, after Bates went out, I had a bad feeling. But gave Jay Curran credit for coming in there and doing some good things, actually, against the Packers front. Like I said, I thought they would struggle against. I thought they would struggle against them. And then David, just find a way to get that ball in the end zone. We always say in the red zone, it's players, not plays. And maybe as Thomas Brown gets going here, and obviously now the Vikings and Flores, who everyone raves about, and they should. He does a great job up there at Minnesota. They have a game of Thomas Brown on film now. They'll break them down. They'll know what he likes to do. And Thomas Brown got to take a step in all, what do they do up there at Halas Hall? I forget the word they keep using. They all work together, right? They all work together. They all got to work together. They got to collaborate. It's going to be a collaborative effort to go out there and beat Flores. But fine points, David, which has been a problem here for a while now. They got to get the ball in the end zone. A field goal down there, I think in the third quarter, they got the ball down there inside the 10. They got a 2-for-1. I give them credit for that, right? They had the touchdown, came out. Like to see them get another touchdown there, right? They moved all the way down the field. I think they're on the 6 or 7. They got to run stuff, and then we missed Odunze in the back of the end zone there. I think they caught a play, but a little better just putting the ball in the end zone, getting more points on the board there at Soldier Field.
A friend of mine texted me last night, Olin, and said that that was a worse loss than the Washington one because it was the Packers. Because as horrible as the Fail Mary, now it's 11 in a row. I never thought we'd see something like that. Now it's, the Flower has never lost to the Bears. They the first game for the young quarterback where you think things are changing and he could put a stamp on it, that's robbed from him. And I just think that, and I know how you are, I know that you have never picked the Packers to win against the Bears. and you put your season record at risk every time they play. But it's just got to drive you out of your head that they lost to that team. And I hope the ownership sits up and takes notes. I hope we hear from somebody about that. I hope somebody is mad about it.
Yeah, that's well said. And it's so funny because going into the game, it's like, is this still a rivalry, right? And that's what I'm talking about. When LaFleur says that, that's why it pisses you off so much, right? That he would say something like that on stage. Like I said, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're saying. Is it still a rivalry? The Bears have so many problems they got to fix. But I guess the only way you can look at it is Caleb's 0-1, right? And hopefully here's a guy who can get us over the hump. Here's a guy who can make the plays to finally beat the Packers, because it always seems like the Packers, man, when you watch them play, and eventually it's not luck, right? Like you go back through the history of how they beat the Chicago Bears, there's always a play like Christian Watson's play. Right, always. They make the play. There's always a field goal block. They make the field goal block. And what I'm trying to explain to everybody is that's the details everyone keeps talking about, but it don't show up. Right? That's the frustrating part. They keep talking about it, but if you keep talking about something and it doesn't get fixed, I start to wonder if you know how to fix those problems, right? And yes, Christian Watson makes a great catch there, right? And Jalen Johnson, we all know, top 2 or 3 cornerbacks in the NFL. But again, in those critical situations, they always seem to come up with the play on one of our best players, right? And they run all the field, all the way down there. Right after we score 10 points for the Chicago Bears offense, 10 points in a row is huge, right? That was a huge moment for us right there to get that. And the defense comes on the field and immediately, we always say, well, the defense is just worn out. The defense, the offense had the ball, But I mean, I don't know. After that interception, I mean, I don't know when's the next time Jordan Love actually touched the football, right after Terrell Smith picked him off. So the details, learning how to beat the Packers, holding people accountable. We heard a lot about that stuff. Now let's start doing it.
What did you think of Caleb Williams getting up and apologizing to teammates after Shane Waldron was fired, according to a report by Jay Glazer pregame?
Yeah, I think, you know, I give him credit, I guess, for standing up there, and it's always hard. We all call for these, you know, even doing radio, when you used to play in the NFL, it's hard when you see someone get fired like that. You know how hard they're working, you know, everything they're going through. I mean, even talking about this struggle, this epic run of losing, the Bears are on right now, talking about it because you know what happens after that. So, Caleb, credit to him that he realized that a man and his family lost their job, standing up in front of a room and saying, look, man, I got to play better football, right? And that is taking accountability. That is saying, look, this starts with me at quarterback. I understand that everyone's looking at me. I understand that I haven't been playing well. Not everything was Shane Waldron's fault, and they made a change, and they did look better yesterday. But I give him credit for that, for standing up in front of a room, a young man stand up and say, look, man, this starts with me here. I am the starting quarterback. I am the star. A lot of things are on my shoulders, and I got it. It starts with me, and I got to play better. And sometimes when you do that, people follow you, right? And it seems like people were following him late in that game yesterday to move the ball down the field, to get themselves in position to kick a field goal. Jay Glazer, one of the eight wonders of the world, where he gets his information from, right? I don't know. Who knows? You know, he always comes up with something there. There on the Fox pregame show, he's always talked to somebody. He knows somebody in every town. That guy, he's got, what do they say? He's got his ear to the ground.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Olin, if we're looking for good points, how about 56.3% on third down, their conversion rate, 9 of 16, 3 of 3 on fourth down. The Packers, 1 of 5 on third down and 0 for 1 on fourth down. I mean, it's just hard to believe. Bears had a takeaway, and I don't even know if you call it a takeaway. The guy threw a terrible pass, okay? And he does
that. We're thankful for that.
Yes, that was a gift. But nonetheless, they won all these statistical categories. It just feels like empty calories because of the way the game ended.
Yeah, isn't that the third time now they've won the takeaway battle and lost the game? It's just interesting. You're looking for things like that. Like when they got that interception, I said, "Oh, here we go. That's exactly what we needed, right?
Yeah,
a red zone takeaway, right? We needed that, and they got it. And then they went down and scored and." As you're talking about on third down, Caleb was using his legs well. They had Edrin Cooper, their second-round pick, who runs an impressive 4.52 40 time, guys. Wow. And Caleb was out running him. They had him spying him. They had him there for out there doing a nice job recognizing.
You're cutting out a little bit. Did we lose Olin?
Pre-snap issues.
Well, you had a pre-snap penalty. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a few of them. That's okay. He gave some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, great contact. So content is always from Olin. Always fun to get a chance to talk.
We want people to weigh in, 312-644-6767. When we come back, Molly, I want to ask you about this idea. You mentioned the Jordan Love interception. Caleb Williams, again, didn't throw an interception.
Yes.
And I wonder about the risk-reward calculus that's going on in his head and what he's being advised to do. And what might be just a subtle little adjustment in that?
Well, I mean, one of the things that Jordan Love does so well, that the Packers do so well, is when somebody commits a penalty, they call, you know, they snap the ball quickly and then they can take a chance and put a ball
it's
in
like
the
somebody
window.
Sounds an alarm.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
And that would help if Caleb could pick up on that, or the Bears could in some fashion. All right. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your phone calls. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You described your emotional swing of anticipating a game when you get there and then it's blocked and you're walking out of here as a loser.
Yeah, not a loser. situation to learn from. You know, when we get those shots to end, you know, that's all you can ask for. Defense, you know, obviously they gave up a touchdown, put us back on the field with more than enough time to be able to go down and score. I put those guys back on the field and do it all over again if we had to. So believe in those guys, believe in them over and over and over again. That's my guy, Santos, and that special teams unit. We do it all over again.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the voice of the quarterback. That's Caleb Williams in the postgame. And I would like to point out, David, not a loser.
Not a loser.
Let's get that straight.
Dan Wiederer phrased the question.
Yeah.
And he just said casually, walked out of here a loser.
Yeah.
No. Not a loser.
No.
Kind of felt like it, but I understand his quest for positivity or to find a bright spot, but he can speak to it from a rookie's point of view. When you're in year three of the Matt Eberflus regime, this is no time for moral victories. You don't get credit for that.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. However, I think that you just wonder, as we've talked about already this morning, what would the opinion be of Caleb Williams nationally if they don't allow a Hail Mary at the end of the Washington game, if they somehow kick the field goal that they missed.
It's an entirely different scenario.
He is the guy that brings teams back.
The narrative is he's Mr. Clutch.
That would have been the current
Caleb
narrative.
In the clutch. Clutch Caleb.
He's robbed of that.
Yes, he is robbed of that because he's on a team that doesn't know how to win, even though he may have some pretty good ideas how to win. Yeah. He's going to be a winner in this league. That hasn't changed in my mind. I think it's much more difficult now. But I do think also, Mully, it would have been different in terms of the way we talk about Caleb Williams' two fourth quarter comebacks, as well as this one against the Green Bay Packers, which in this town just resonates a little bit louder.
Sure.
Absolutely. So I think he missed those opportunities, and we're going to have to figure out exactly what it all means. I want to ask you about this. We talked about it a little bit last week, but you have been on this, and I think it's an interesting thing to point out when you see it happening. So Caleb Williams now in the four-game losing streak has gone 126 pass attempts without throwing a pick.
Yes.
Without throwing an interception. And yesterday there was more maybe downfield passing. He was a little bit better, certainly in the clutch in the final drive. But one play came to mind, and I was sitting next to the great Mark Grody, and I mentioned this in the press box, and it was the second play of the fourth quarter, and Jordan Love threw into coverage.
Yeah.
And I felt like he threw up a punt, essentially, that Christian Watson came down with for 48 yards, and it was a big play.
Into double coverage.
Elijah Hicks was injured on the play, to bring your people's mind back to that moment.
Right.
And I thought, and I said to Grody, I'm like, that's a dangerous pass. But that's a good pass because you've got a quarterback that isn't afraid to make a mistake.
Mm.
And I understand there's sometimes it's going to get you in trouble. Jordan Love threw another pick yesterday. He overthrew.
He's thrown a pick in every single game this
year. He has.
That's unbelievable.
I know. And it's some
given his reputation and how well he has done.
And Thomas,
frankly, that pick that he threw, you're in the red zone. Like, what are you doing? That was a bad throw. He sailed the ball over the receiver's head.
Right decision, wrong throw. Bad throw, right?
Bad throw.
Overthrow. So Terrell Smith gets the pick. The Bears get the takeaway.
That's right.
And they live to make that. If they score in that drive, it might be a different game.
Right.
So the Bears get the takeaway. But I don't think that I'm coming around on this, and I want to be consistent because, like, some quarterbacks, that statistic, having 126 pass attempts over the last four games without interception, you're like, okay, you are doing your job.
Yes.
You are managing these games. You are doing no harm, but you're not doing as much good. But you're doing no harm because you're limited. That's not Caleb Williams.
Flusie makes him take a Hippocratic oath.
Yes, before. Exactly. The quarterback's Hippocratic oath.
Do no harm.
First, do no harm, young man.
Yeah.
But I think that's the wrong approach.
Well, I think it is the Bears' approach. If you listen to what Eberflus said after the game, he said something like fairly quickly after the game, we did a good job of playing complimentary football. Complimentary football is his dream football. he doesn't, I don't think he goes, I don't think he's trying to necessarily win. Certainly didn't try to win that game yesterday.
Thank you.
That, he wants to play complimentary football.
That is the whole incompatibility with this entire operation.
Yes, it is.
And this season, we're wildly inconsistent. We come into the year celebrating the three wide receivers that give the Bears the best trio in Bears history. Let's have a race to 1,000 yards. But don't throw a pick. So I think that you've got to want Caleb Williams to be more aggressive, even though we might be overthrowing some of these passes, and he's got to work through that.
I'm with you.
The way Jordan Love has. Now, Jordan Love, obviously, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that because he's probably going to throw a pick in a playoff game that's going to get him beaten and end the season. I understand that. But he also might find Christian Watson a half step on a cornerback and put it exactly where he wants because he's going to take a risk because the reward is worth it. The reward sometimes is worth the risk. And I think that's the calculus that Caleb Williams has to do a better job, even though he was good yesterday.
He was good yesterday.
I loved what I saw. Yeah. But the next step is doing that.
I would venture to guess that your guy, Flusy, and he is your guy, chirp, chirp. And by the way, I hear there's an opening at your alma mater. If Flusy loses his gig, then you'd really be living in hog heaven. But his
Matt Eberflus to Ball State for the win. Listen, don't laugh at my friend losing his job.
I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing at Flusy being the head coach in the NFL. I'm just saying he wants to play complimentary football. In other words, he wants to keep his defense as the kind of center figure of this, and he's not looking to get the ball down the field and to score points. If he was looking to score points, wouldn't they be more aggressive?
Then they should have drafted Bo Nix.
I'm not arguing with you.
I'm just saying.
Well, you can draft Bo Nix if you've got Sean Payton.
Well, that's a great point.
That's the problem.
If you have a guru, you can make the best out of a quarterback, whatever his limitations may be.
And I don't know that he'd ever – I don't know that Bo Nix will ever be a top 10 quarterback in the league. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
He may be a decent quarterback, kind of middling quarterback after working with Peyton all these years, but I don't see him as being among the top 10 signal callers.
No, I don't either, but your point is well taken in that the quarterback that you have isn't the quarterback that it fits the description of your ideal football team.
That's what I'm. That's and, my fear about what they're doing.
And that's always the fear when you have a defensive-minded head coach.
Sure.
So this is where that descriptor, defensive-minded, and that hyphen carries so much weight.
Right.
Because you've got a guy that is not willing to think outside the box. Nobody on the Bears, with due respect to Thomas Brown, and he did a nice job of balancing the offense.
Did a very good job.
But they are not going to make Caleb Williams into a game breaker that way.
No.
And he is a game breaker. And he is a potential gate attraction, not gatekeeper. I don't think all the things you could say about a game manager, I think that
Olin made a point that they came down, they got the third down, then they get the fourth down, and he sees that they're coming, and he calls a sort of max protect and then takes advantage of Keenan Allen's. And I thought Brady did a great job of describing it. We always talk about separation with receivers in terms of down the field. He's capable of separation in the width of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took advantage of that and completed a pass, and you got a first down there, which set up
throwing guys open.
But that was just he called a max protect. He saw them coming.
Right.
So he was aware of it, and he switched to a play like that. That was a really good move for a young quarterback. And I think as he plays more and gets to see more, he'll be able to do that sort of thing. I think that he's going to be a really special player for the Bears. And you know, in a few years, he'll be able to do more. But at this point, all the coach wants from him is to be a complimentary.
Is to not make a mistake.
Don't throw a pick.
See,
we
I think
can't overcome a
that's
pick.
Understandable, but I think that's limiting his potential.
I agree with you.
You
completely.
See 9-16 on third down, great. You see 36 minutes possessing the ball, terrific.
Yes.
You don't see the touchdowns you need.
No, you don't see touchdowns.
You're not scoring enough points.
That's the problem.
And you got 19
scored,
points.
What, 25 drives before they scored a touchdown?
25 drives?
That's insane.
The Bears scored 19 points, and we want to give this guy a party for calling the good offensive game. And he did.
Yeah. Well, they really should have scored 22 points. Well, if you're paying attention.
I asked Flusi about going for two after the game. I know that, I don't know why that bothered me, but it did.
Well, but you know, the two didn't matter.
I know it didn't matter in the end.
You know why it didn't matter? Because if the Packers, if you had kicked the extra point, they would have kicked the extra point. So the great stop of the two would not have been needed.
I know.
But you know what I mean?
You put yourself, I don't know, 39 seconds
early.
Left to go in the third quarter. It wasn't the fourth quarter.
It was early.
Anyway.
It's fair enough that you're arguing about that, but it wouldn't have mattered in the course of the game.
Ultimately, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But again, when we are parsing his sentences and his logic and his approach to these decisions, I did want to know what he was thinking in deciding to go for two with 39 seconds left to go in the third quarter when you are in a situation where I don't know if it made sense. It put you in a position where two field goals would have beaten you.
That's a redundancy left to go. It drives me insane a broadcaster keeps saying, there's 34 seconds left to go. It's either 34 seconds left or 34 seconds to go. And
There were 34 seconds remaining.
I will buy that television where I can reach in and choke the guy if he keeps doing that. It drives me nuts.
So now you want to choke me out. You're going
to I'm pointing out like a personal, like you red flagged me. Like earlier in the show.
You want to go full Jake Paul on me.
Earlier in the show, you mentioned.
Just because I go on. Say
you mentioned the word penultimate,
Dustin. I feel
and
your pain.
I started laughing because I have a visceral reaction to penultimate. You know this.
It's the second to the last.
I'm well aware of what
it is. It's the second to the last.
But I remember one time.
I know it's misused all the time.
No, I was covering.
That's why I love it.
I was covering the Bears, and we were joking about something that Danelle Wolford had said. He said that I think it was Brian Cox had said something like, why do we have a corner who has been on the injury list for an entire season? Is the guy ever going to play? He's always doubtful. And Woody heard that and got mad and felt that his credibility was being questioned. So I was laughing, not his credibility, his credit. Like the guy can't get a car now because of what Cox said. So we were kind of giggling about it. And Dave Craig overheard and he said to me, he said, oh yeah, what does penultimate mean? Like he was going to, and I said, next to last.
Second to last.
Next to last is what I said. And all he right. was like, okay, okay. But it was like he thought he was going to get me with penultimate.
I know you love that word. That's why I used it.
I thought it was funny.
This is what we can't agree on. The Bears are very lousy under Matt Eberflus at penultimate plays.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I mean, the idea that you stop playing, that you won't go. And as Dustin said this morning, what's the safe zone? How far are you supposed to go?
It's the Mullen Haw safe zone brought to you by.
Yeah. We're looking for a sponsor.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
No. It is as close as you can get is the answer.
That's the
period,
answer.
End of score.
Take that, Dustin.
As close as you can get.
Take that.
Flusi. And then, don't let him have 13 yards before a Hail Mary.
That?
All right, we got to take a break. We'll get back to your calls. Mully and Haw on the score.
Go for two at 19-14.
I'll make it 7 points.
Yep. Make it a 7-point game.
Point of the game.
Yep. Yeah, because when you get close, I think it was 31 seconds to go or so in the going into the fourth, you turn it into the fourth. So there's a point in there where you make that decision. Some people would wait to the fourth. Some people would do it higher than that. But that's where it was.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's the voice of the head coach for now. That's Matt Eberflus. And there's potentially a coach firing today in the NFL. Have you read this? Apparently, Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
After the Lions just
52-6. That was a high school score.
Yeah.
That was a high school game.
That was
York running over whoever they ran over on Friday
bad.
Night. That was bad.
Yeah.
Definitely. And Doug Peterson, that would be the least surprising news of the
year. They're headed to the bye, so you give whoever's replacing him a couple weeks before you hire Belichick next year, isn't
that? Yeah, that's I think what they're doing. Okay. How about down in New Orleans? Darren Rizzi has 2 wins as the interim head coach for the Saints.
Mm.
Interim head coach bounce.
Interim bounce. Okay. Anybody paying attention?
Just asking.
Oh boy, you're saying something there. I don't know what. Kevin is in St. Charles. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good morning, Mully and Haw. Another Bears Monday and same old, same old. How are you guys?
Yeah, right. It was rough. It wasn't a happy outcome. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was there. I can relate. Mully, I missed you at Flagship a couple weeks ago. I don't know if David told you. I got the pleasure of meeting him, Manley, and Olin, and that was awesome. So next time your guys are coming out to Flagship, I hope to see you there.
Excellent. Yeah, I was unwell, sadly, so I couldn't get out there. But
I'm glad to hear you're doing better.
I'm fully recovered.
That's good. Here's my points on yesterday, boys. So I'm glad we lost, because I hope this marks the official beginning of the end for Flus. I openly and admittedly liked that we retained him last year. Mm. I thought it was good for our stability and retention of our locker room. However, where this season has got to, where we've got to into this season so far, like with the roster being improved, he had the opportunity to hire a new OC. We're still a losing organization. And my final point is this. Winning organizations, like the Packers, find ways to win. Loser organizations, like the Chicago Bears, find a way to lose. Fire Flus, hire Johnson, bear down. Thanks, boys.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the phone call.
A lot of people feel that way. I have no idea if Ben Johnson is interested in that job.
I don't know that he is. I think there's some.
I think he's getting the job.
Where there's fire or whatever.
Yeah, I think he'll get
his job. Because he doesn't want to look at the Bears as an opportunity as much as it could be a sentence.
Oh, boy.
Because it's a tough job. It's tough
there's
for
a lot
organization.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of problems with the Bears.
Yeah.
And you've been to the sausage factory. You know a lot of what those problems are. I just wonder, if you're on the outside, do you look at them and see the quarterback and some of the receiver skill position play? Do you think there is a path to success if you're an offensive-minded guy?
Could be. Depends on how ambitious you are and
what
your experience level is.
Yeah. And do you want to go against your buddy? And
I was watching the Bengals last night wondering what they're going to do with their head coaching situation after this disappointing season. And all that you could probably think of how Ben Johnson's offense would look with Joe Burrow running it.
Right.
Wow.
If you were the Bears, mm-hmm. and you know coaches will become available, is there anybody that you would think of bringing in who is cast off from another organization?
Depending on who's cast off, absolutely. I would look at retreads or somebody with experience who has done it before that might be out of a job. But I think that's to be determined.
If Cleveland were to somehow...
Kevin Stefanski would be a nice hire on his second stop.
Yeah.
Yes, Kevin Stefanski is an offensive mind that you could definitely see working wherever he lands next, mm-hmm. if he indeed leaves Cleveland.
Let's try Matt. Matt's downstate. Hey, Matt.
Guys, how's it going? Disappointing outcome yesterday, as it seems to be the common theme here. Just wanted to kind of make an observation, get your guys' thoughts on this. We seem to kind of always shoot ourselves in the foot going into every possession with first down play just being a wasted play. It's always the same old, same old. Run up the middle, 2 yards, and that's it. So we lose a play right off the bat. And then also, we have possessions where we have good passes from Caleb Williams, big gains, a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement. And what do? We run up to the line and we slow it down again. We go back to that same, hey, let's just go, let's hand it off, get a couple yards, slow everything down. Rather than using that momentum, keeping the pace going, keeping the excitement, it's just always this same old.
Well, thanks, Matt. I don't think that was the case yesterday. And in fact, the Bears went 9 of 16 on third downs yesterday, of those 9 of 16, 6 of them were 3rd and 1 or 2. So they actually stayed ahead of the chains.
They did stay ahead of the chains.
Yeah.
That was the most impressive part of the offense, perhaps.
That was probably the best part.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. At least we agree. We're going to bring in DJ Moore. We'll talk to DJ next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.